I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Welcome back to the Lanterne Rouge Cycling Podcast for the Giro d'Italia Stage 1 2024, the race we all said was going to be one of the most exciting races of the year. That's what everyone's been saying for the last 2 weeks. This Giro is going to be so good. This is one of the best opening stages to a Grand Tour I've ever watched. Like, explosive stage. This episode is brought to you by Join Cycling. From Venaria Reale to Torino. How are you feeling this morning when you woke up, Benji, on Grand Tour day?
Honestly, pretty good. Yeah. I wasn't complaining. I thought Giro d'Italia's here. Even if the racing could be boring every now and then, I would still be like, okay, this is the Giro. I'm looking forward to this because there's other stories than maybe the GC where I started off going in tunnel vision when it comes to Pogacar, and maybe I'm still in that tunnel vision depending on what happens in the stage. But this stage definitely overperformed. That's for sure.
That's the thing. I got despondent 3 weeks ago, and then the week we did the preview, I thought, you know what? Anything can happen in 3 weeks. I kind of started to drink the Kool-Aid, and today really anything did happen. Like, unbelievable stage. As I said, finishing Torino, very explosive. Sorry, we just did a watch along, so I was maybe shouting a little bit. My voice a bit sore. A little bit. 44K flat start, which meant that we're probably just going to have the advertising breakaway. And then it gets hilly, progressively more hilly, starting with the 3K 5% climb, where there's a cat 4, then the first intermediate sprint. Benji reliably informs me that that's for Ciclamino points.
I've already forgotten.
That was at the top of a 1K 6.6% climb, so good for someone like Groves. Then another bit of a 12K valley, then the Superga, not the hard side, 8K is 4.3%, then a step descent of about 30Ks before the Intergiro sprint. Which I think was for bonus seconds and Ciclamino, who knows?
I'll go over it once we get to the winners.
Yeah, who knows? And then the Bivio di San Vito, first rep of that, 1,500 meters, 8.6%. We got to see it, see how narrow it was, see the crowd. And already when we saw it the first time, we're like, that's a pretty difficult climb. Straight into the Maddalena, no flat after the descent, 7.1K, 6.6% before a longer descent, bit of a valley of 10, 12Ks before they do the Bivio di San Vito again, before a descent to the finish where really the last 600 meters were flat. They're descending almost to 700 meters to go, and it's a little bit of an uphill kick. So good stage design, designed to be explosive, Benji, and the breakaway was pretty much what we expected.
Yeah, certainly. Maybe some more teams tried than I initially anticipated. We saw riders like EF trying to get in it very early, but eventually a six-man break up the road was Louis Barret, Frenchman, Nicolas de Beaumarchais from Cofidis, also a Frenchman of the good market. We've got Lilian Calmy-Jane from France as well, from Intermarché, Gebreigsabir for Little Trek, Pietro Bon for Polti and Fiorelli, who's got a bit of a kick, to be honest. Like, kick and climb relatively okay for Bardiani. And I said, EF was trying, but they miss out on eventually. And I feel like when it comes to this breakaway, Gebre getting into this breakaway, like the five were up the road, he bridged that in no time, just as UAE was trying to control what was happening behind, because UAE were the ones that were trying to control the breakaway formation phase of this race, for obvious reasons, because they want to win the stage with Pogacar. Gebre's bridge was really good, so yeah, he showed that he was really good.
Straight across.
But were you surprised that EF gave up so easily on trying to get in the break?
Well, I don't know if it was like a hold, because I didn't see many EF riders jumping. It made sense that they were trying to get in the breakaway, like with the Honoré, but maybe he's too good to be in the break. I think it was Debod jumped, and I was thinking maybe just Debod is jumping because he personally wants to go for the Maglia Azzurra, and because that's what Magnus Cort did in the Tour de France 2 years ago in Denmark. But yeah, it was weird because they jumped. Emmanuel just bridged it, and then they were like, no other EF riders jumped. It was kind of surprising. But yeah, that was a break. Vegard Stekelenger starts pacing with the gap in a minute. Unsurprisingly, that's what he's supposed to do. Don't let it out to be 4 or 5 minutes. And then we just enter a status quo phase, to be honest. Like, even Superga was paced by Rui Oliveira. It really wasn't too much going on, except the first intermediate, Benji, was Alpecin really going for max points.
Yeah, exactly. And to be honest, we got to bridge it back for the KOM, like Fiorelli beating Barre and Gebre.
Yeah.
But the intermediate sprint, so sprint one, Chiclamino points, bonus seconds, and intermediate sprint classification points, because that exists as well, in addition to the Intergiro points that are not present at this intermediate sprint. That's won by Fiorelli, ahead of Calmejan and Pietro Bon. And like you said, full lead out by Groves for the two leftover points, because there's a lot of breakaway riders of the road, six of them.
Yeah, sure, six.
So you ain't getting much for that attack. So that's number one. Second KOM. This is a third cat climb. We had a fourth cat climb in the first KOM. Gebre finishes in front of Fiorelli and Calmejan. Gebre showing that he's one of the stronger riders breakaway for certain. And then I was thinking, okay, KOM points. We're looking at this first climb. We're looking at the second climb. The climb that's coming, the Maddalena at the end of the stage, that's more points than these two combined, because for some reason, I think it was 3 points for a fourth cat climb, 9 points for a third cat climb, and 18 points, if it's not the mountain finish, for a second cat climb. So
they tinkered with the KOM as well.
So when it comes to KOM, the KOM would be owned by the rider that finishes on Maddalena first, but that's for later, because once again, next intermediate sprint, this is the Intergiro sprint. So now we're playing with that classification. Chiclamino points again, but also Intergiro classification points, because that's something for some reason. And when it comes to that, okay, my notes don't even include who won that. I don't care who won that.
Lilian Calmejan, because Emmanuel went up the road.
Yeah.
And then I don't even think he knew what Intergiro was. Calmejan just rolled ahead of him and then just rolled back and pat him on the butt saying thanks. And yeah, he took the maximum Intergiro. Fiorelli also, there was a group of Fiorelli and somebody chopping off behind. But before we get into the real action, which I would say starts on Bivio di San Vito, the first repetition with about 35Ks to go, a word on our show partner, Join Cycling. Did a little 20-minute test yesterday, Benji. I've actually completed, I'm 100% the way through the Fabio Jakobsen sprint plan. Yeah, but I still have 8 days left. Relax. I'm overperforming. And did a little, you know, when you wake up sometimes, you're like, I just want to do a bit of an effort today.
Yeah.
And that's the beauty of Join Cycling's flexibility. It's the last day of my 3-day block, because Join Cycling usually works in 3 days on, 1 day off. Last day of the block, I was like, you know what, I'm going to give a little nudge for 20 minutes. And I was pleasantly surprised. Did a 20-minute effort, happy with it. Maybe I underpaced it, didn't go full, probably. But then Join tells me, okay, here's my new FTP. So my FTP's gone up like 12, 13 watts, I think.
Not bad.
The estimated FTP from Join Cycling using the Fabio Jakobsen sprint plan. So I was pretty happy with that, given that I thought it would just increase my VO2 efforts.
Has it improved your sprint?
It has, actually. I did a sprint effort the other day, a sprint workout, and it was like my fifth best ever 10 seconds.
Ooh.
But also the previous one was on a single side of stages power meter in like 2017. So we want to take the old ones with a grain of salt as well. I mean, on the better power meter now. But then I did it. I did five of them. No, that is six. And I was like hit 10 seconds, good power, like really all in my top 20 all time. So my sprint repeatability was really, really good. So I'm actually happy with how that plan's gone, even though everyone thought it was a joke that I would have to do it. But I'm looking forward to finishing it and starting something new. But if you want to check out Join Cycling, you can get 30 days free, no strings attached, through the link down below. And then you get a 6 months discounted subscription offered to you at the end of that 30-day free trial. Many of you have enjoyed it and have benefited from it so far, and it's fantastic to see. So make sure you go check it out. And they're a big supporter of the show. More news on them coming soon. All right, Benji, the stage heats up. Bivio di San Vito. What did you think when you saw the actual climb, the breakaway on it?
Honestly, Gebre was putting pressure on the breakaway. He was dropping rider by rider, and I thought at the top, okay, he's dropped everybody, but Calmejan actually came back in the descent. But that climb looked more difficult than I initially anticipated. Yeah, yeah. I was thinking, okay, this is going to be a bit like the final climb in Giro di Lombardia. I'm using the old name. Il Lombardia. And this climb was harder than that. And then I was thinking, okay, this climb plus the San Maddalena climb plus this climb again, this is prime Pogacar territory. So we see that moving up in the peloton. UAE starts to pace. Well, continues pacing technically, because Langen was doing some early work in the stage. Here is through Oliveira at the front of the peloton. And I was welcomingly surprised about the positioning of Alaphilippe and Van Zevenaar, because I was hoping to see some life in Alaphilippe today, you know? And we saw that on this climb, but what we also saw on this climb is that Oliveira just kept on pacing. And from this climb, just watching this climb, you'd think the conclusion are, okay, UAE is going to go to San Maddalena, and there Bjerg's going to take over, and there we're going to see a proper lead out for Pogacar. Either he attacks there, which is early, or either they pace hard enough but have riders left over so for the last beefy climb, Bivio di San Vito.
Yeah.
To have like a proper lead out. And well, that didn't exactly happen.
Yeah, Alaphilippe, it was good. When you see him twitchy there, like, mm-hmm. Did you believe in Alaphilippe when you're on the first San Vito? Yeah, I believed.
I wanted to believe.
I did. It didn't really matter whether it was true or not. I wanted to be like, yeah, he's on. He's on. But yeah, I was. UAE went with the strategy of no hard pace until completely nuclear pace.
Yeah.
As opposed to like a progressively making it hard day. You know what I mean? Like they still entered Maddalena. It was like 100 deep, right? Like mm-hmm. The only people that dropped on the first San Vito were like Coy and sprinters.
Yeah.
So I was.
Insta gruppetto.
I thought Björk. I don't know. I thought they'd maybe do Novak on the first San Vito, actually.
Ooh, really?
But not at like nuclear, just like a harder pace. Yeah. And then Maddalena not as hard, but like to keep guys. Unless, of course, they wanted to attack on Maddalena, like you suggested, might be possible. But was there anything? I mean, I'm checking the parkour. There might be some intermediate sprint.
There was a crash. There was a crash with Gesink, with Pozzovivo. Okofidis rider that hit the deck quite hard, but looked okay. The Bahrain rider, I think it was Torsten Tran, looked a bit worse because his one leg, he couldn't really put pressure on it. Yeah. I don't know if he restarted from that point or not, whether he's still in the race. We're now going to the Colli Maddalena climb, and this is the...
But Pozzo came back.
Yeah, he came back just at the foot of the climb, man.
Ow.
This ain't an easy climb either. Like,
No.
It's not the same as the previous climb. It's like 7.1 kilometers, 6.6%. On paper, you would say this is the kind of climb, if you have it with 30 kilometers to go in a sprint stage, a Mads Pedersen might get over it, depending on who paces in that stage, who sees value in doing that. But in this stage, we've had the Bivio climb before it. We're having a Bivio climb behind it. And UAE was on it when it comes to trying to get shit done.
Well, we didn't get shown them for the first kilometer because we were showing the breakaway, Emmanuel pacing Carmagnan. But you could see on the ticker, it's gone from 146 to 120, and it's on the 2% kilometer. And I was like, I'm pretty sure I know who's on the front. And it was correct. It was Mikkel Bjerg, and he was absolutely ripping it on these sort of 20-minute climbs. Like we saw an Orquet d'Anzizon in the 2022 Tour de France on the Perregaux stage. Like he blew up the peloton there. But he's so good on these sort of climbs.
I do feel like these gradients, like the first kilometer was 2%, the second kilometer was 8%, third kilometer 5%. So the first and the third kilometer are Bjerg territory. Yeah. 8 is kind of at the limit when it comes to Bjerg.
But he can do a 10 to 12 minute TT effort. Yep. He's pretty fresh and he's still doing like 420, 450 watts, you know, so it's still going fast on 7-8%. But I agree, it's not 6%, it's not 5%.
But
we saw trouble. Straight away for a lot of riders.
And not just when it comes to the competition, but also when it comes to UAE, because instantly we were looking at the back of the peloton and yes, riders were dropping, you'd expect to drop here. And then suddenly an Ineos rider would be in there. We'd be looking, is it Ben Swift? Is it something like that?
Chef.
Damon Arensman.
Yeah. First Chef. And we're like, all right, well, he wasn't in great shape. And then I'm like, number two, Arensman. I was like surprised, especially, okay, on Bivio de San Vito, he gets pog attacks and he can't respond. Yeah, fair enough.
Yeah, fair.
But on this sort of 20-minute climb with a Ruler pacing, I was very surprised. And he's full dropping. Others, Woods dropping. Bardet dropping as well is the most surprising to me, actually, Bardet. Because Bardet was like third favorite for GC. Yeah.
He's great at LBL. A bit less at Alps.
Yeah, I think I overrated him at Alps. Plap sliding and then eventually dropping. Lipovic dropping. He was there for a while. And what we saw was Bjerg just destroys this group. It goes from 60 to 50 to 40 to 30. Micah comes up and talks to Pog. The camera changes. Camera shot goes back. Groschartner's on the front. Novak's gone. And bear in mind, in the order, Groschartner was before Novak.
Yep.
And then Groschartner's on the front. Novak is gone. And I'm like, are you sure what they're doing here? Like, because the only way this makes sense is if Pog is going to attack on Maddalena, because there's a valley after this. Novak, Bjerg just ripped him apart.
Yeah, the question is, looking at this, okay, Bjerg is destroying his own team by pacing like this. the plan isn't Bjerg, this space is going to destroy the team. It's this space is going to destroy the others, and then our team can still continue. So there's an overestimation when it comes to the riders that came after. I'll be honest, I expected more from Novak on this. Like, he did nothing today. Yeah.
And Grosjean pulled for like 30, 40 seconds.
Exactly. But it's like, we're looking at those riders dropping away, and then Mika suddenly at the front, and I'm thinking, okay, if these riders are dropping on a stage like this, I'm somewhat worried about other stages that are going to be much harder to control than this stage one, where it's not even like this climb is there, but what happens after the climb?
Well, exactly, because the only solution is if Pog attacks, because Mika was unbelievably good. Yep. Mika was excellent. We all expected that. He's been so good for so long. Bjerg was good in his role, but yeah, Novak and Grosjean were not good enough. And the problem was, Benji, Mika goes to the front, Poggy's half-wheeling him, just they're kind of like not doing too much.
Yeah.
Mika slowing down, it's not like it would allow Grosjean to come back. He full drops past Arensman after his pull. And I feel like they UAE pulled the pin too late, and like, they exposed their team today. And then you're thinking, you bring Milano, and he can't help on this, to maybe win a sprint stage against the best sprinters in the world, but you could be costing yourself a stage with Poggi here or there, which we'll maybe see later. And then what ends up happening is Mika softs, not soft paces, but Karmazin attacks Gebrezgabir. He goes over Maddalena first, takes full KOM points. Everyone else from the break, I think, is caught. But we could see that Mika went the same pace as Karmazin in the last K. So he can't, and no one else was dropping extra, I don't think.
This does mean that Karmazin does take the Malia Azura because he was the winner on this climb. But like you said, Karmazin still goes ahead and Mika goes into the descent pacing. And I'm thinking, okay, Micah's not the craziest descender in the world. On the flat afterwards, he's not the craziest.
He's like 60 kilograms.
So it's unlikely that, well, first of all, him catching Karmazin still looks good. He's still riding. He's gaining time on Mika. Good. But I'm more thinking it's unlikely that Mika can control what happens when the descent stops.
Yeah.
And that's where shit really hits the fan, because I think Honoré attacked first on the left side of the road and he didn't really get away. Mika tried to fix that. It was Schachmann that then goes.
Yeah.
And then Honoré goes to the wheel. Mika tries to close second guy. Schachmann? No, Honoré.
And then stops.
And either isn't able to or realizes if I do this, I'm going to be completely fucked for the next 5 kilometers. So those two riders start riding away, then eventually Conchi bridges to that. So we've got three riders up the road, Mika still alone in controlling the group. And I'm thinking, okay, what are the other riders in the group going to do? Because Ineos is there with Ganna, Thomas, Narváez.
Yep.
Narváez looking good on Maddalena, looking good on the first BVO climb. Ganna looked very strong today.
Ganna was so good.
Yeah. Like, I did not expect that.
Yeah, I mean, not just this climb, the next climb too, but
with this climbing, his TTs?
Yeah, Ganna looked really, really like unbelievably good. But this is the thing. If UAE had really reduced it to 10 guys, it's less of a problem. Or 8 GC guys, all isolated. The problem was, they've got one domestique in a group of 30.
Yeah.
And so it's inevitable with, people aren't stupid. Like, people are not going to go to Bivio di San Vito with Poggi. Yeah. Just because maybe his teammates underperformed outside of Mika doesn't mean he's bad. And so you've got so many teams with multiple riders that should be jumping, and some do. EF, as I said. DeMarchi jumps for Jayco, as he should.
Yes.
Bahrain, Caruso jumps. Because they're like, well, what's Mika going to do in the valley?
Yep.
Nothing. And Ineos didn't chase. They had
Gan.
And Baudin jumps.
Pellizzari?
Yeah, and all these like other guys. I mean, this was the moment for Tratnik and Volta to jump. This was maybe the moment for Ganna to jump. But this is the thing, like, Ineos evolved, Benji. There's a chance they put Ganna on the front to control Caruso.
Yeah.
But today they were just, I mean, probably not, but today they were just perfect. They just, everybody let Mika, they hung him out to dry.
Except
Astana.
For a little bit.
Yeah.
Like, we see some weird shit with the time gaps, but it's also because that group that is ahead, I don't know why, but they were not cooperating very well.
You've got an
opportunity to win the stage, to take the Maglia Rosa, if you're Caruso, to take bonus seconds. Yes, there's an intermediate sprint coming with 10 kilometers to go. Yes, Caruso tries to get those seconds, gets those seconds. But I'm thinking, my man, like,
Schachmann wasn't pulling.
His group needs to, Schachmann wasn't pulling. And I'm thinking he was like someone tries to go. I think it was Pellizzari that was like pacing.
Conchi attacks.
Shockman on the wheel. Shockman doesn't take over from that. And I'm thinking, okay, like, why attack in the first place? If is it because Caruso is in the group that you're thinking, oh, Danny Martinez versus Caruso? Sorry, but if you're doing that, then we're going to have to... And you might as well not attack, is how I see it. So all those attacks were happening. Gap keeps expanding a little, to be honest.
But not as much as I expected.
Because of the cooperation.
Yeah. But that's... I don't understand it. I really don't. It looked like Caruso was hanging... It looked like they didn't believe they could win, Benji. That's what I read. It's like Caruso thought, okay, I'll get these little bonus seconds, but ultimately I can't win the stage. But I was... This is an opportunity to get ahead of Pog, and you just have Micah chasing in a flat valley. And then this intermediate bonus sprint, 300 meters, 5%, it gets even crazier here. Astana do a lead out. Scaroni attacks. Gee, Pog looked like he'd given up on the stage.
Yeah.
We saw Pog at the back of the group, fully
I disagree about having given up on stage.
It looked like, why is he at the back though?
He was, what do you call this in English? Like the race happens and he depends on what happens in the race.
Yeah, yeah.
He has Micah at the front of the group. That's all he can do. So at that point, you might as well just sit in the group and let it play out and then see what you can do on Bivio.
But that deep.
Hey.
And Ineos for sure, I think their team car saw him at the back.
Probably.
And then on this 300 meter kicker, Geraint Thomas attacks. And that was not on my bingo card, like, Geraint Thomas attacking on that climb.
It was a response to Scaroni, who went at the intermediate sprint. Scaroni's ahead. Yeah. Thomas is third rider, I think, trying to bridge towards that. And what makes the attack fail is the teammates of Scaroni, somewhat understandably, Lutsenko in the wheel of a teammate that is just behind Thomas, and they close it down because of Lutsenko. And I'm not sure I would have done that from an Astana basis. I understand from Lutsenko GC because... Realistically, I think top 10 GC here.
I mean, why attack with Scaroni if...
Yeah, I agree.
You know, and G's going to pull him. Like, I agree. You should probably let Scaroni go there. But in the end, it's brought back. But I'm like, wow, G's attacking? And like, this is the whole table's been flipped.
And what's most interesting for me is that Conchi attack that also happens ahead, which means that cooperation wasn't there in group one. So you're thinking about Conchi going attacking. And then the cooperation wasn't there in that group two. So you've got... three groups on the road that matter at the moment. Conchi had 20 seconds on the group with the...
Caruso, Shachman, Pellizzari.
Exactly. And then the peloton is on an unknown gap because...
the motorbike. I was like, 1 minute 40? So I'm going backwards. They must say, we'll stop for a pee break. Going for a coffee.
No, it's not the case.
Yeah, the motorbike just went haywire and got out of the gap. But Micah did an unbelievable job here.
Yeah.
Like, Poggi doesn't get a chance to go for the stage win here. Yeah, unless Micah did the whole last bit of Maddalena, paced the descent, paced the valley. Micah was unbelievably good. But everyone's sitting in, not helping. And we're thinking, Menji, with Conchi 20 seconds, Poggi's got to go. If he wants to win this stage, he has to go. And also, we know Micah can't do the hard lead out. There's no way he can do the hard lead out. If Poggi has to go off his own pace, camera changes, and there he goes. We see Poggi going through. It's a narrow climb. We've got the breakaway dropping back. So as he goes around a rider, you can lose the wheel. That's what happened to Alaphilippe. And we see two guys on his wheel. Jonathan Narvaez in the Ecuadorian National Champs jersey.
Yeah.
And Julian Alaphilippe there. And Alaphilippe was like, it was great to see it. Yeah.
Absolutely loved seeing that. And when Poggi made that move, I was thinking, okay, he's probably going to drop everybody on this climb. I did not expect what was going to happen.
I believed
now.
In Johnny.
I believed in every... I was trying to believe in Johnny and Alaphilippe because then we have a race after this climb as well.
Yeah.
And Pogacar kept on trucking. And at the back of the group, we see O'Connor getting in trouble.
Yep.
Which I don't like seeing that on this climb. That's earlier than a lot of people. And then we see Valter eventually dropping Keon as well on the climb a little bit. And
he tried to bridge.
There's a lot of shit happening behind the scenes as well that is super interesting. But at the front of the race, it's basically Pogacar, Narvaez, Alaphilippe trying to catch up with the breakaway riders one by one.
Yeah.
In the meanwhile, Alaphilippe kind of gets, as they pass the breakaway riders,
Poggi
gets ahead of Pellizzari, maybe one of the breakaway riders. Then behind that breakaway rider, it is Narvaez who then has to come around, takes some energy,
to be honest. Yeah, yeah.
Alaphilippe was stuck behind everybody. I don't think that would have been the decider. He would have been dropping anyway.
Yeah.
But Pogacar's strength here, he was stronger than all the other GC riders.
Yeah, by far.
But Narvaez was outrageous. because he kept on sticking to that wheel. One by one, they caught riders until they were at Conchi, first rider up the road. And then I'm pretty sure Pogacar went again with Vivies on the wheel.
The climb was a bit undulating, and then at the end it gets narrow. It really looked like, what was the climb they started with last year in Circuito de Getxo in Tour de France Stage 1 where Lefebvre and Vingegaard were there? It really looked like that. There was even a Basque flag there today. Like, narrow. Pique. Yep, Côte de Pique. It looked like that. And Poggy on the flat section, I was like, oh, has he given up? And then bang, like gets back up to speed and attacks Narváez one last time, and Narváez like holding on. But he didn't really... There was never that moment where a gap opened. Narváez actually really was glued. Incredibly impressive performance. Schachmann actually is just behind them from the sort of counter move in the valley. We don't get much coverage of the GC group because it's not safe to have a moto in between. But they're not far, though. They're not that far. But then this full descent. Twisty was hit from the heli shot. Poggy's going full. Narváez is a bit off the wheel, actually, through the first corners. He's maybe surprised by how hard Poggy hit that descent initially. Schachmann comes back so quick on the descent. Like Luke thought he was going to crash. I agree. Like, there was a left-hander when he was just coming back. He came in so fast to that left-hander, but he makes it back. And then you have Poggy, Narváez, Schachmann. And it's like, what does Poggy do here? You got the stage win, 10 bonies, and now a group of two. So you could be losing 6 bonies. You've got the GC group, maybe you think between 7 and 15 seconds behind you of Thomas. What do you do?
Realistically, I think Pogacar wants the Maglia Rosa after stage one. I think that was in his head, and that's why he didn't really keep pulling into the line all out. He was trying to keep the stage win as a possibility. The reality is he gets those bonus seconds, so he can afford to lose 10 seconds to the group behind and win the stage, which then replaces those 10 seconds.
Didn't he push for too long then?
I think it's a perfect balance that he tried to.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Be honest.
Yeah.
The major deficit is not that he pushed for too long. It's the fact that he needs to lead it out with Narváez, who can also sprint.
That's the thing. Like, Johnny is like, he came fifth in the Guangxi sprint, fifth in 2DU sprint. Okay, not the biggest sprints in the world, but like on the flat, he's legit fast.
Yeah.
He's proper fast. And also Schachmann in Basque Country was super impressive in the long sprint he did. I can't remember who was behind or ahead of. But you're right. It's like Poggy's had to do the whole climb, pace the whole thing himself. He's paced the whole descent himself, and now he has to lead it out.
Yeah.
Yes, he's got a great reduced kick, but these guys are also legit quick, and there's only so much one man can do. He opens it up. We see the group coming back through the right hand of 700 meters to go where the descent ends. And Poggy opens it up. The camera work then changes back really late. We see Narváez overlapping the wheel, and we already know Johnny is going to win. Jonathan Narváez, wins the stage in the national champs jersey. Schachmann second and Pogacar third. Baudin was actually bridging in between.
Yeah, takes the white jersey.
Does he?
Yeah.
Okay. He's only 22. And the group of GC favorites was actually 10 seconds behind, led by Conchi, who was pacing Herman's back, actually. Van Sevenon in there, Tiberi, Valter, Thomas, Ganna, Caruso, Martinez, Alterbrooks, Dunbar, Honore, Alaphilippe, Chavez, O'Connor, Pellizzari, Rubio, Lutsenko, Lopez lost another 10. So, wow, what a stage. And like, a word on Narváez, Benji, like to follow Poggy when Alaphilippe gets dropped and then win the sprint. Incredibly impressive. He's won a Giro stage before, but in 2020, I think it was a break stage in the third week to Chesnardico.
Another rider, was it Padun that had a puncture?
Yeah, Padun.
Well, but also, he came from the Quickstep development team, Clan Constancia, back in 2018, I'm guessing. I think that's a vineyard company or something, Clan Constancia. Anyway, he then eventually goes to Quickstep. I felt like he never really pushed through in Quickstep. Every now and then we'd see him in those 1.1 ChatGPT Belgian races.
They wanted him to be a climber, I think, because he's South American and small, but he's not a climber.
Yeah, but I saw him a lot in those Belgian ChatGPT races for that team as well. And then when he went to Ineos, we started seeing more and more he's very versatile, But the problem is, if you're very versatile, you're getting top 10 positions, but it's hard to win. But breakaway victory already in the Giro, this victory is his best victory of his career, in my opinion. Like, hands down. Take the Maglia Rosa like this. He, like, you could say, oh, is this going to make... I saw a question on Twitter. Is this going to make Ineos Giro harder? Who cares?
What do you mean harder?
I don't...
He'll lose it tomorrow. Like.
Narvaez took a stage and the Maglia Rosa. It's the best possible way for it to start for Ineos. And they rode basically perfect. I can't note anything badly when it comes to Ineos today. So... except for Arnsson's performance.
Yeah, but that's not really something the car can control.
But also, is Yoi's failure today, because let's go, we can call it a failure, but Pogacar took time on all the GC
Pogacar's
competitors.
Yeah, still the best.
He showed that he was the best GC rider. He showed that on paper to me, he's probably going to win the Giro like we said. He's likely to win the Giro like we said. But the team itself showed weakness in controlling stages and... in being able to even launch Pogacar.
Yeah, well, they got themselves all in a pickle because Micah had to be used up before when he should be launching him.
Yeah.
And normally I would have expected Groschartner does the whole of Maddalena after Bjerg and then with Novak, and then Micah launches him halfway into Bivi San Vito. And then if Micah does that, Pogacar wins. If he doesn't have to go from the bottom and he gets a lead up, Pogacar wins. He would gap them.
If Pogacar is here with a team that can fully set him up to launch here.
Yeah.
Or if these riders like Novak and Groschartner perform as, let's be honest, Novak underperformed.
Yeah.
Groschartner underperformed. If they perform as relatively expected, Pogacar has a much more likely win ratio in this stage than now. He's probably going to win this stage because he has that lead out, which would have made the difference against someone like Narvaez, against Alaphilippe, who was able to follow for half a climb. And that is because Pogacar has to keep in mind, at the bottom of the climb, okay, I need to be able to ride hard to the fucking top. There's no point of like, oh, I need to stay behind this rider and then launch from the wheel. It's the entire climb, and it's not like it's not a 500 meter climb. It was longer than
it's
I anticipated.
Five minute climb.
So it's a proper performance, and he's set up for that. So yeah, Pogacar is the strongest rider when it comes to GC, but his team showed weakness today that can be exploited in future stages.
And also, like, Novak is very strange. He kept riding full gas behind the group.
Maybe he thought he could come back and still help.
He finished on his own, only like a minute and a half behind Micah. So
other GC riders, though, I think...
well, who's the GC guys that made it? I'm looking through. Tiberi, Thomas, Caruso, Martinez, Oterooks, Dunbar, O'Connor. I'm going to put Pellizzari actually in there for now.
Nah, I'm not.
Lutsenko and...
like, what is a GCR? Is it
I'm talking top five? I'm talking top 10.
Ah, Pellizzari can get 10 for a ninth.
Yeah, that's what I mean. I'm just literally a GC rider.
Okay.
Guys that lost time, Juanpe, 20 seconds to Poggi or plus bonies.
Storer, 47?
Storer, 47, but I think he should go for KOM. Quintana, 57.
Bardet, 2?
Bardet, Plap, 57. Arensman, 217. Lipovitz, 225. That is, these are big gaps. Sheffield 8:13. Obviously, he's not really if GC.
And Bajoli finishing on 8:13, the typical Bajoli thing. Like, he's so inconsistent to the point that, yeah, you cannot trust on him in a team.
No.
When you go to a race, you cannot trust that he will be the guy that will be there for you, because this is the kind of stage where he should be relatively competitive, and he's completely not at all. Like, Woods dropped also, but we weren't really expecting that. We weren't really expecting him to be there.
I expected him to be there longer, at least.
His performance this year haven't been good, so...
I mean, this is his terrain. Like, these are...
it is, but his terrain 5 years ago.
Yeah. Or even last year in the Tour on Puy de Dôme.
Fair.
Like, I would say Aurelien, Valentin Paripantra, a little bit surprising, but then Baudin overperformed. Aurelien was a little bit further back. O'Connor, I think, came down. I think he must have done a nuclear descent to come back. I saw Ganna in the group with Thomas. People are like, oh, why didn't Ganna pull? It's impossible. Like, if you're on a descent, you cannot move up. When someone is I presume Conchi was smashing it for Hermans, you cannot move up. Like, on that sort of descent, it's impossible. And then the last 700 meters, still someone was pinning it for Hermans.
We can say, okay, move up in the descent, but reality is these riders are also... Ganna's going to be gassed after that climb.
Yeah. So he's coming back.
It's going to be... it's not super easy to move up in a group like that that's trying to sprint for every corner, that's trying to catch riders. Micah's trying to set up a pace. On paper, Ganna's faster, but he has to put in the work to get there. So I don't mind that. But I don't know. It was a really fucking good stage.
Such a good stage. I would say Otterbrooks really, I would say, overperformed.
Yeah.
I expected maybe he would be on 20 seconds with APP or even 57 seconds with Bardet and Plap, maybe gapped on the explosive climb. But mm-hmm. he entered the climb in really bad position, actually, the last climb. And that's very encouraging for Otterbrooks because these sort of stages, not the best for him. Tiberi, good, obviously, this is, and Bahrain, generally speaking, were very, very good.
Hey, Arendsman out of, well, losing 2 minutes is great for Tiberi's potential chances of a white jersey against Uiterbrooks.
Yeah, exactly. He's basically out of the white jersey competition. No offense to Pelizzari and Baudin.
For now.
Because
with the TT, he's back at Kion.
Yeah. But he maybe is so far out that he doesn't try in the TT to conserve energy. Schachmann is clearly back at a much better level than in the previous 2 years. That was shown in Basque Country, and today he was excellent.
Yeah.
He was very, very good. Maybe if he pulls more, then he's dropped more. I don't know. It was strange how that group behaved, actually. I was surprised. Yeah. Astana, in the end, I think, kind of stuffed themselves. Oh, Luchenko made the group. Nah, that's fine. But Luchenko wasn't as good as I think they thought they would be. Do you think UAE will already be regretting bringing Milano, Benji? You already lose one stage because of him.
There's nothing you can do now about it, so you got to work with what you have. You can't think about regrets of who did I pick, who did I not pick. You got to work with the riders you have, and you got to now realistically think, okay, this one had a weakness today. Is that a one-off, or will Novak be expected to do this every single climb? Because then our order of our train must change for every climb. So
he should be ahead of Groschartner.
It's now trying to utilize the team they have in the best possible way. Because, for example, what UAE also could have done in this stage is not climb on San Maddalena. Maybe from today they learn they shouldn't hard pace that stage and just try it on the final climb alone.
But why did they hard pace San Maddalena?
Because in reality...
But why?
Pogacar goes into the stage thinking that he's going to have to make the stage hard to drop all the chunkier boys, like the climby sprinty boys. Like
Pithy and Binny.
Yeah, like... They were already dropped not early on the climb, but...
I think Bjerg, he just has one speed. No, they say go pull. And it's like full gas. I'm going to try to drop everybody. And in the end, it's really like you just needed to put a bit of fatigue into the Pithies and Binnies. And maybe they don't drop then, but then they drop on Bivy. And like they were never going to follow Poggy on that climb, on the last climb.
Going into the stage, I cannot blame UAE from hard pacing that climb.
Yeah, I thought they'd still have three domestiques after, yeah. So.
Yeah, I just expected them to have more strength afterwards, which they didn't.
Yeah.
And they must now learn from that lesson and pull that towards the coming stages.
Let's talk about tomorrow.
Yeah, we look at Europa. I'm thinking, okay, this team, if I'm any other team, I'm considering going in the breakaway, even though it's a flat start.
Have to. Stage two, San Francesco al Campo de Santuario di Europa. We've seen big performances, yeah, I'm flying. Big performances from Pantani on Europa and also Dumoulin. Dropped Quintana here. Flat start, as Benji said, for the first 2 hours, 93 kilometers, before a collection of sprints, which I don't know the meaning of. 161 kilometers long, but it is, as Benji said, flat-ish start. Then it's medium mountains, four medium mountain climbs getting progressively longer or harder, like 7Ks, 3%, 3Ks, 6%, 5Ks, 5%, and then another 5Ks at 5.5%.
The gradients aren't crazy.
They aren't crazy, but they're Bjerg grade. Do they put Bjerg there?
I wouldn't after today.
And then I'd
start Europa with all possible riders. I don't care about the break winning tomorrow stage. You don't have the jersey anyway. So I let another team control. Ineos, control the breakaway if you want.
Ineos should not control the break. For G's GC, they have to let Johnny lose the jersey to the break.
On paper, yes. But hypothetically, if I'm UAE.
Oh, yeah.
Role playing right now. I'm UAE. You are breakaway rider. You go in the break.
Giulio Pellizzari, yep.
Yeah, that's not a breakaway rider. He's a GC rider. We selected him for
they'll
GC.
They'll see a Bardiani jersey jumping and they'll be like, whatever. He went for KOM points, Pellizzari. Oh, he did.
Oh, yeah, he did.
He jumped. But yeah, they'll see the blue and white. They were like, oh, it's a Mickey Mouse team. And actually,
Pellizzari could win KOM here, to be honest, in this race. He's strong enough.
He looks so skinny, man. He's so young and improving.
Would you rather win KOM at the Giro or top 10 in classic? Top 10.
If I'm an Italian, top 10. If to get actually paid... If I'm a 22-year-old Italian climber, I would rather top 10.
But it can't TT for shit, eh?
Yeah, but top 10 is not going to be, from 5th to 10th is not going to be
But Tony back to Martin. A role play, you distracted me.
Yeah, sorry.
I'm UAE, I go to the stage, I don't control the breaker. I'm like, Ineos, you need to do it because you've got the Maglia Rosa. If they don't do it, well, who cares? If the break wins, the break wins. We're going to beat them on Prato di Tivo anyway, whoever's in the break.
Oh, and bear in mind, Poggi still took 14 seconds today.
Yeah, but if I'm UAE, I should try and help control the breakaway information to not let dangerous riders go in the breakaway. So just let a break go and then let them go. That's how I see it.
Yeah, Stöcker, Langen, and Bjerg. Wait, so you think UAE should let the break win?
Yeah, I'm all for it. I don't care. Sorry. And then just hammer it in the peloton. And they can't... are they going to control a 160-kilometer stage?
You think they should? I mean...
they can do it,
that's
but...
that's giving up very quickly.
That's not giving up.
I mean, they would have written down these two stages to win.
We're actually going to drop all the rest on Europa anyway. So you're trying to beat the GC riders, not the breakaway riders. You've got the Giro to do and then a Tour to do. So they'll save some energy somewhere.
And if the break wins and it's the right guys, he can still take the Maglia Rosa tomorrow.
Yes,
because guys will have lost 2 minutes.
But there's going to be someone in there that's closer.
Okay, maybe. Yeah, probably like a Bodin. Like, could be.
Yeah.
I agree, Benji.
In the white jersey.
If you're any team, you got to be looking break tomorrow. Like, the UAE guys can't be confident. I mean, maybe they say, don't worry, we just had a bad day. We pulled too hard. Let's do it a bit more. Like, I still think if they do it a bit more sensibly, then that doesn't happen.
I think the true strategy, adapting from what I said earlier, is based on what happens in the breakaway formation phase, based on the strength of the breakaway that gets away, then you decide whether you want to invest fully with your team on the entire stage.
Fair point, yeah.
Or whether you feel like it's too difficult, a breakaway that will be too hard but is manageable in the future of the Grand Tour. So for example, a ride that will lose 8 minutes on Prati di Tivo, all fine with taking that stage if it's not really controllable and it will cost my entire team. If it costs that much, then I just focus on the last two climbs, potentially Europa possibly.
I would just, Milano
can do some climbing on the first two climbs. Sorry, you can do some work there. Milano can do the second last climb, Qualifera can do the...
Should they try let someone like Storer take the Maglia Rosa by 2 minutes?
I don't have an issue with that. Storer is going to lose 2 minutes in this Grand Tour to Pogacar.
That might be the sensible thing to do. He lost 57 seconds today. I mean,
yeah, but then you still have to control it to the point that it's only 2 minutes.
Yeah, but that is a lot easier because the breakaway doesn't... people stop trying in the breakaway who are behind Storer in GC, and so it has a self-fulfilling effect of limiting their gain.
Yeah. Your plan shouldn't just be, this is the plan and we're going to stick to that. It should be, if this happens, we're going to do that. If this happens, we're going to do that. So based on the breakaway formation, I control or not control if I'm UAE.
These are who should be jumping in the breakaway tomorrow, in my opinion. Pellizzari, if they let him, although it'll be tough on the flat. Stork and Storer, definitely. And one of them was also not Storer. One of them, or Meyerhofer even.
Conchi.
Train if he's not injured. Conchi. Keplinger.
Lipovic, why not?
Lipovic as well, because they know in the TT he won't be good. Attila Valter and Robert Hayes think if he's not injured. Visma should be trying to go on the breakaway. I'm sorry. Chris Hamilton for DSM and Kevin Vermaaker. Woods.
With a tug buddy.
Filippo Zana. Quintana. Gebregs Gebir again and Juanpe.
Will Barta climbed really well today, actually, in the background.
Will Barta. Steinhauser. Valentin Paripantra and Vendrame.
Like, if you're Alaphilippe,
all these teams should be trying to get in the break. If you go to Europa with the GC group, Poggi will win. I don't...
Sure.
Because Mike is also going to be more useful tomorrow. Mike could reduce the group to 12 tomorrow. He looked good.
What do you think about Ineos? Should Ineos try to get in the breakaway tomorrow?
With Chef or Arensman? If I'm Ineos and I see what happened with UAE today, I'm like, I'm going to make your life hell for 2 hours.
Yeah.
Fuck it. Like, Ganna is flying. What if Ganna starts doing tug buddy action to get them in the breakaway? What, you think Vegard-Steeke Langen is going to bring Ganna back on the flat? I'm sorry.
Not happening.
I didn't think of it like that. But yeah, I mean, Ineos, strike while the iron's hot. Maybe the UAE guys improve in the Grand Tour. Like,
do we trust this team to be able to control the breakaway formation face?
No, definitely not.
Because Langen's reactions today, it wasn't bad, but he also was jumpy. If that makes sense.
Bjerg and Langen are not the best in that phase. They're like really strong, but in terms of accelerations and recovery, yeah, I think Ineos should also try to make it difficult. And I really think, who have you got? Do you think the break, we've said all this, Benji, but you know, I'm picking
Pogacar for the, wins.
I'm picking, I'm still picking Poggi for the stage, actually.
No, we got to do so. If Poggi doesn't win, who wins?
Okay.
Come on.
GC group, obviously, if it goes to that, then Poggi will win. Otherwise, where did Zana finish today?
You and your Zana. I'm going for Marco Frigo.
Yeah, man, he was good. Zana is on 27 seconds, just behind. And Jayco, I think, might
have... Frigo is Fritsch in Dutch. Flemish.
In Flemish.
Luke is just insulting me from behind the camera.
Luke said in Flemish, not in Dutch. Yeah, we're going to have a little turf war here between the two of them.
Fix your language, bro.
Will Plapp go in the breakaway?
I don't know.
What did he lose?
Because is this not the best scenario for UAE to stock up to Europa, have two little riders, and then attack Micah alone leading out Pogacar?
Yeah, from the breakaway, I'm picking Zana. I'm staying with an Italian, and I think Jayco are going to go for it as well. I think
they should.
I think they'll go for it. You can't not
at
go
least
for,
the market.
You can't go for the break. Not go for the break because Dunbar's GC.
Yeah. Maori
looked really, really good as well. So
with a Tug Buddy and Charney, maybe.
Exactly. Like this flat start, this is going to be Tug Buddy central tomorrow. But
this is a Grand Tour. We might have newer viewers. So a Tug Buddy is basically the kind of rider that goes in the breakaway with your tiny climber to help him get in that breakaway and then help that group establish a proper gap on the peloton.
Especially when it's a flat start. So like, for example, you have a, as Benji said,
Charney for Maori. Yeah,
Maori is the least aero person created by man. Like he, you know, he's sitting upright, right? So on a 90-kilometer flat start, you don't want Maori trying to, as well, jumping out of the jumping from the peloton on the flat is what kills your legs, and you can only do it so many times. So what you do is you put Cherny on the front, and you literally do a lead out with the big guy. And we have as well for Zana, you have Valscheid. Yeah. You have Valscheid, Mez gets Hepburn.
You try to rip it apart.
You rip it apart, and you put the little guy in the wheel, and then hopefully you also make the break with the little guy, and then you start driving it. We saw this in the. The Bettiol did it with an EF guy. They ripped it in the Tour de France. Before Grand Colombier, there were some tuggers.
Paulus, no.
Yeah, there was some EF.
Paulus is good enough at that himself.
There were some tuggers in that breakaway before Grand Colombier, and they ripped it on a descent. So yeah, that's what we should see tomorrow. Dan Ola for Gebregsgebir and Juanpe and Edward Turns. I think it's going to be another good stage, Benji, because I'm hoping some DSs go watch the tape tonight and are a little bit encouraged that this might not be a one-way affair all 3 weeks.
Yeah, because on one end, I'm still confident that Pogacar wins the GC
in this
race.
Yeah, he looks the best GC rider. Yep.
But when it comes to stage victories, there's so much more options now.
I thought they would still win stage one and two.
Yeah.
But then I thought, okay, they brought this team.
This is one of the easier to control stages.
Yeah, but exactly. But then I was like, okay, I mean, this is clearly not the team you bring to control for 3 weeks to win 10 stages. I still think they go for it tomorrow, Benji. Yep.
And they might succeed.
Jeff, definitely tune in for Breakaway. Definitely tune in to our watch along. Where are we going to start it, Benji?
Oh, bro. Well, let's do...
We'll start the watch along before the Nelva climb. So in the valley before Nelva.
In the descent towards the Nelva climb. So with 40K to go roughly.
45Ks to go, which will be about an hour and 15 minutes because they're finishing up Europa.
So for pod players, if you don't know what a watch along is, on YouTube, we just had a live stream today of our reactions to the race, commentating a bit live on the race, basically with a ticker of the kilometers on the right top or left top of the screen. So you can adjust your stream so you're watching at the same time as us. So we're kind of your friends in the watch along. So that's kind of the vibe we've got going on. So on YouTube, you can find that on the Lantern Recycling podcast channel.
Otherwise, just before we end, our Grand Prix de Morbihan, Benoit Cosnefroid won the uphill sprint against Zangler and Delis, which is sort of a perfect sprint for Benoit in the Vuelta a España Femenina. And by the way, there's been daily coverage. I'm about to finish the pod and do the highlight video of this. Marianne Vos gapped everybody in an uphill sprint. She put 2 seconds into him. So she is... She is moving this year. She looks much, much better this year. But Faulkner's punch surprised me. Faulkner second. Also, her punch the other day when she won the stage was very, very good. Ahead of Longo Borghini third. In terms of GC, the only change was actually Faulkner moving from 10th to 7th. Other races. The surprise was at Ronde de Lizarde on stage 4, Jorgen Nordhager didn't start the stage, who was the big favorite to win the stage, the uphill finish at Plateau de Bay, which is over about an hour and a half that way. They use it in the Tour de France this year. By the way,
everybody knows what that way is, right?
Towards France, north.
Okay.
From Andorra. And this is one of the big French stage races before the under 23s. But he didn't start. I don't know what was wrong. But anyway, Darren van Beckham won but he does move into the GC league.
Second yesterday.
Was he? Matthew Greenwood, shout out to the Aussies. the Aussie fellas third for Bridge Lane. But we'll see tomorrow what happens on GC, but that's an important stage race. Tomorrow there's an up and down stage. Anything else, any other news, Benji, before we get out of here?
Not really. I'm enjoying the start of the Giro. I hope it keeps kicking like it did today, because
I'm so
that was a great stage. Tomorrow's stage, I think it might be a little tamer than today, but I still expect interesting action.
You're right. I think like if the break goes, UAE might just give up, you know, like they might just let it get to 6 minutes.
Yeah, it depends on the breakaway formation, what UAE should do. And they shouldn't just decide before the stage what they do. They should decide based on what happens with like a flow chart. If then.
Yeah. But Ineos should not control for Narváez. He will lose Mamalia Rosa.
Yeah.
He will lose Mamalia Rosa, whatever happens on Europa. So there is no point controlling for him. Okay, that's all from us. Hope you enjoyed it. See you at the watch along tomorrow. Until the recap then, ciao.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.